Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Do Go On, another episode of our podcast, or possibly your first episode. Could be a thing. My name is Dave Warnicki and I am here with my co-host, my chums, Jess Perkins is my number one inductee this week.
Yes, hi Dave.
That is bullshit.
Yeah, Perkins.
Hello, Jess Perkins. And hello. You are, of course, a rival to your co-host, Matt Stewart.
Oh, he's taken that off my hands. Normally I get to introduce someone.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, neither of us get to. He does it all.
Well, I was always third, and it's nice to be introduced.
That's right. I'm playing you off against each other. It's really fun.
No, we're a team.
Yeah. So come at us.
We were talking.
Come at us, fuckhead.
We were talking.
Oh, let's early. Put that on a t-shirt.
That is early on in the podcast to be
to be a confrontation.
Well, calling our friend a fuckhead, but there you go.
Here we are.
And a few people have stopped listening. Thanks for sticking with us, everyone else.
I swear we're friends. I swear we are. We were talking off air about if we were Destiny's Child, the early 2000s R&B group, mm-hmm. who we would be. And Matt Stewart, you decided yourself that you are the Michelle Williams, the third most popular
I
member.
I did not
the
at all decide that. You said apart from the fact that I wouldn't have known her name, you said you're definitely the Michelle Williams. So I don't see how.
Well, I just wanted to be the Beyonce of the group, leaving Jess the Kelly Rowland.
But then Jess the started singing, and yeah, we all decided.
She had the best voice.
What sweet vox she
well,
has.
They definitely had.
I do break into song a lot in this podcast.
Do you really?
Too much.
You do. Michelle Williams, if you're not familiar, is the one who was often given the third half verse or the bridge as her solo. So she would only sing for a little. So, Matt, that's pretty good. You still got a bridge.
Hey, look, I'm happy to be in one of the most successful all-girl groups of all time.
That's right.
Without any, having to worry about any of the, you know, the bullshit.
You're happy to be the little fish in a big pond?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want. I just want to be
I'm
a little
pond.
Fish in a big pond.
Still in the that's pond.
Right. Still in the pond.
And I'm happy to be married to Jay-Z, so.
And I'm, oh, I had that good. Song with Nelly one time.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I've done since. I assume just, I'm happy though.
Yeah, money. Just swimming in cash.
So much cash. I got a pool full of cash.
Pool full.
Poo-poo.
Michelle Williams also shares her name with the Michelle Williams Dawson's Creek actress, so there's something to
and,
us.
And Heath Ledger, mother of his child.
Yes, correct. The mother of Heath Ledger's child probably would have made more sense, but that's okay.
Well, you know.
And here we all are.
Here we are.
The child of destiny 1, 2, 3, okay.
What a weird way to start.
So, way to start. It's Matt Stewart, aka Michelle Williams, your turn to do a report. What we do on the show is we do a report on one single topic. Yep. We each take it in turns to write that report and come back with the report to the class. Now, Matt, it's your turn, like I say. We don't know what you're going to talk about. Are you excited?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I can hear it in your
you
voice.
You have admitted to being up very late last night writing this. And also this morning, you were a little bit late to this recording, so you could continue the writing session.
If this is a school class, I am definitely cramming.
Okay.
Probably worse than I ever have before. But if I can squeeze out a C+,
okay,
I'll take it.
All right. Well, we'll just up the enthusiasm.
I just want to say, going for a C+ is a very Michelle Williams attitude.
Totally.
Beyonce would go for an A+. Kelly, probably a B+, yeah. C+ for Michelle.
That's about right, actually, for us, isn't it?
I feel like Beyonce probably wouldn't go for an A+. She'd just get one.
Yeah.
Well,
she's born with it. Maybe
yeah,
she's
but that's,
born with
but
it.
But you're cheapening her hard work as well, yeah.
Yeah.
am. Fuck it's, you, Beyonce.
I like Beyonce. My sister's played me some Beyonce from recent years. There's some really sweet stuff in there.
She's a very talented woman. Yes. Thank you. Nobody's arguing.
Thank you. I'm taking this like you're talking about my work ethic. Thank you.
Yes, I do work very hard. I'm a talented woman and I'm powerful.
I am dangerously in love.
You're a strong, independent
lady. She's a single lady? No.
No, she's not. She's married.
And neither am I. I'm not a single lady either. So the similarities are endless between us.
It's all adding up.
Beautiful.
It's all adding up.
Well, yeah, okay.
If you want to go on, Beyonce likes to talk about herself more than Michelle. So going for the C+ today is you, Matt Stewart. We always start with a question just to lead us into the topic.
Yeah, if you know this topic, you'll probably know this is basically their it's a marketing thing. A stretch of words in like a short sentence. It's like a phrase used for marketing purposes.
Sure.
It's like a logo, but a sentence.
Okay.
What do you call those things?
Like a tagline?
Like a tagline.
Okay.
A motto?
A motto. It's like a motto. I'm going to say it's a marketing motto.
Okay.
What's Just Do It for Nike?
It's like a...
Yeah, that's their tagline. Would you say tagline?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And that would definitely be copyrighted too.
So, yeah, right. So if you know this thing, you'll slogan. Know this slogan. That's
slogan
what I was trying
is
to
the
think.
Word we're going
oh,
for.
That is fucked that three of us took so long to remember slogan. Wow.
But I'd like to point out that Kelly Rowland got it.
She did.
Kelly did get it, which are more reason to believe that maybe Kelly's actually Beyonce.
Sorry, I was secretly writing a Grammy Award winning album in the corner here, so. Oh,
okay.
Do try to pay attention.
Another one. No, slogan, that's
slogan,
a much better
okay.
word. Motto.
Okay,
slogan.
So the question is, what is the world's largest music democracy?
What?
Maybe it's not that well known of a...
Music.
Oh, yes, I think I know what you mean. Do you have any idea what he's talking about?
Music democracy.
A musical democracy where people would vote on music.
Like the Grammys? Or like, no?
But more, I think the logic of why they call it this is because so many people vote. Like the Grammys.
Oh,
are
okay.
You know
yeah, I'm with you now. Yep, I'm sorry. Yes.
Matt, are you talking about the Triple J Hottest 100
I'm talking
Countdown?
About the Triple J Hottest 100 Countdown.
Oh, very nice.
Very good.
I think we should give context for people that might be from overseas.
Please, if you could, thank you.
were you planning to do that, or should I just say?
No, you're the guy because I think of myself as I'm a guy who talks to Australians. I can communicate with your everyman in Australia.
So you're trying to say you're a podcast racist?
I can't.
If someone's listening in Taiwan, turn off. Is what you're saying?
I wasn't thinking Taiwan. I was thinking, you know, like. Maybe America or something like that. I feel like you can talk. You've got the tongues. If you were like a biblical person, you'd be one of those guys doing the tongues. You talk and everyone understands.
I'm doing the tongues.
Yeah, you're going down.
I love that. That's a great phrase.
Yeah, doing the tongues.
I'll be going down doing the tongues.
Aww.
Yeah. So you did just say going down.
But
and
I'm
going
to edit that bit out.
I like it.
And just have you saying it.
Gladly. So that's my slogan.
If you could
going down doing the tongues.
If you could go down doing the tongues for our international
biblical,
listeners.
Don't
biblically.
Enjoy any of this.
All right, so Triple J is, if you are from overseas or if you're an un-Australian person, is a Australia's largest national youth broadcast radio station. It's sort of government-funded. It's part of the ABC, which is the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. And the Hottest 100, are you going to explain what that is?
Yeah, I can talk about that.
So, yeah, it's pretty much, it's our largest youth music station that's sort of aimed between people that are, 16 to 35 kind of thing?
That's right, yeah. That's the idea. I think it's even, probably aiming even younger than that.
Yes, maybe 12 to 30,
yeah.
To be honest, yeah.
So it. Do you know when it began? How far ago is that?
The Triple J Hottest 100. Yeah.
100 years ago, I assume, because that's why they call it the Hottest 100.
Is it like that? Maybe the late 80s or something?
Yeah, late 80s, 89.
Huh.
Which was the same year that Triple J or Double J went national, became Triple J.
Okay, so it used to be called Double J.
Double J and was Sydney only. So yeah, so it the Hottest 100 began in 1989 after a Triple J staffer named Laurie Zion.
Who was one of my lecturers at La Trobe University.
No shit, that's great.
That's cool.
Tell me more about him, because I don't have a lot on him.
Oh, he's a great guy. He's the head of journalism at La Trobe University, Bundoora campus in Melbourne. He's a cool guy.
His office number is level 2.
I applied to do a PhD, and he was going to be one of my co-supervisors, but I decided not to do it.
What were you going to be a doctor in?
I was going to do a PhD about podcasts.
Are you?
I was going to write about it. I'm not kidding. I twice applied. I wanted a scholarship so they'd pay you to do it, but I didn't quite get the scholarship. But I got I got a place, but they weren't going to pay me to do it. Like they would just be a. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can get like a wage from the government to research something, which is so dumb, I realise, because come on. Does anyone need my podcast research? And yeah, Laurie Zion was going to be one of my co-supervisors and a very great guy.
That's cool.
That's so cool.
So I wish
you were a doctor of podcasts.
Oh my God.
And then
we could put that all over our podcast. Like, we have a doctor of podcasts on here.
I still might do it one day. I still could do it. Please do. I've got the application and I can just fire it back in.
And you've got heaps of content now to work on. Like,
now I've got the inside knowledge.
Yeah.
There couldn't be many doctors of podcasting in the world.
You could get us like 2 more listeners.
Yeah. Laurie Zion would have to listen.
You'd have to listen. And I don't know, maybe... it's probably one. You'd get one more listener. It's
but I didn't know that he started the Triple J Hottest 100.
Yeah, he came up with the idea.
I knew that he used to be a Triple J sort of broadcaster and he's made documentaries and stuff for the ABC. And he's cool guy that's been in journalism for so long. But
awesome.
Yeah, what a cool thing to...
Oh, man, I wish I'd know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like a guy lecturing you who's got something like that in their past. It would be hard not to bring that up.
Yeah, you think so.
It reminds me of the time when I started the world's largest musical democracy.
But that is such a cool thing that he didn't have to go on about that.
Yeah, that's true too.
What a cool guy.
What a geez, even cooler. And he knew that one day you'd find out.
That's right, through the medium of podcasting.
Yeah.
See, it's got potential, people. Someone sponsored me to do this goddamn PhD.
I think a possible campaign.
I've seen a couple of different things.
We should.
Yeah.
No, we shouldn't. Sorry, Matt.
Just to the government. The government can kickstart us.
I petitioned Malcolm Turnbull, the Prime Minister of Australia, to pay me a wage.
So he apparently, from somewhere I was reading, that he got the idea from a Brisbane community station. I think it was like 4ZZZ or something like that. And they had a yearly countdown called the Hot 100, I believe.
Oh, okay. So it's quite hot, but not the hottest.
But that's what the Triple J one was initially called, the Double J Hot 100, or Triple J Hot 100. And the first 3 years, it was all time. There was no restriction on the year. That you had to vote for?
So, you vote for, these days it's for the previous calendar year.
That's right.
Your favourite 100 songs
from
the country. But at the start, was it just of all time?
So it was all time.
Vote for the Beatles, vote for...
Yeah, exactly. So
Jimi Hendrix, whatever, yeah.
First year, Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division was number one. And the second year, so that's 89, and 90 was number one.
Wow.
Then the third year, Love Will Tear Us Apart was number 2 with a new song, Smells Like Teen Spirit, number 1.
And so it went straight to be the greatest song of all time.
Yeah, that kind of shows a bit of a fault with it, because when you've got an all-time countdown, and they've done all-time countdowns since then, there's always a few songs that are from that year. It's like, well, you really need to give songs a little bit of space before you call them best song of all time, right?
Yeah,
I think
you need
to
see how it ages.
I feel like you're in the moment. Yeah. You're thinking, this is the best. Hang on. Fast forward 6 months. You're still going to love this?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to love it, but is it better than Joy Division?
Yeah. You need some sort of a quarantine system. But as it turns out, like 20 years later, they did another all-time count and Smells Like Teen Spirit topped it again. So in that case, they nailed it. But yeah, in other cases, like...
But was it fairly similar year to year? Because I can imagine that every year... Well, can it change that much?
It didn't, that was the thing. It was fairly repetitive. So I think that was one of the main reasons why they decided to change it.
So maybe 91 to 100 changes a bit, but the top 10...
Yeah, they did switch around in positions a bit, some songs, but yeah, for the most part it was, you know, a pretty similar countdown. So I guess that was one of the main reasons why they decided to make it a yearly thing instead, just because it was going to get monotonous. And in the end, it was a very smart decision because it, you know, people care about it, and it's like a little. Every one is a little. It's like a time capsule.
Yeah, it's cool to look back at the list of what the top 10 from every year was.
Yeah, there's some fucking shit songs in every countdown. I've looked through them all, and there's some pretty awful stuff.
Like sort of joke songs.
But there's still some great stuff as well. Yeah, there's songs that you just don't remember at all, don't have the staying power, and then other songs that are just classics that didn't rank as high as you might have thought. Yeah, anyway.
So what year was the first Hottest 100 of the previous year?
So they after the first three, they had a year off.
Bit of time to regroup.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. They were sort of bit of time to rework it, and then they did the 1993 countdown was the first one. First yearly count.
1993, so for the previous year.
Yeah, for the year of 93.
Oh, okay, cool.
So it was, and it's, the first one was actually counted down on the 5th of March, 1989. But now they do it yearly on Australia Day.
Which is January the 26th, and it's sort of a bit of a popular thing to have a barbecue and listen to the Hot 100, because Australia Day is a public holiday in Australia, so most people have the day off work.
Yeah.
Do you know, I don't know if you're going to go into this, but how did they like collect all that data back then pre-internet? Are you going to go into that?
I wasn't going to go into it, but that's a good question. Yeah, so.
Because now everybody just does it online, right?
Yeah, it's all online now, but back then it was mail-in.
Yeah, I was just going to say. And did you have to list 100?
No, you still the same as now. You vote for your top 10.
Okay.
And they were told to write them on the back of an envelope, and it took months and months to collate the votes.
Yeah, there would have been like...
You write them on the back of an envelope.
Yeah, that was what they said.
So people can see your votes. Yeah. It's not very... secretive in that respect.
Does it have to be secretive? You shouldn't be ashamed of your music taste.
Australia Post are going, they're reading.
They're looking at going, oh, what are you thinking?
Bit of scoop.
They didn't, but at the time, you know, when something like, they didn't know this was going to be big or anything at all. It was just like a fun project.
But you know how in retail, like it gets to the busy time of year and they put on Christmas casuals just for like those few months to help with the busy time. Do you reckon they employed people just to come in and take all that data and help with that?
They probably should have.
Like a postie person.
Not a postie person, just a few extra people on hand at Triple J to read all the votes and
some interns.
Some data input.
Well, yeah, do you know how big it was when it first started?
True, it wouldn't have been as big as it is now, but it was, still.
It was way smaller. Now they're into the millions of votes, but then it was nowhere near as big. But apparently they got some quite funny
submissions
in terms of the medium that was used. Instead of envelopes, like apparently someone sent in a canvas with them painted on their votes. Someone sent a sculpture with it chiseled in. And then apparently someone who was in prison sent 10
bodies.
Cigarettes with the votes written on the cigarettes.
What a waste of cigarettes.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's like throwing money away.
Can't
in jail.
They? Yeah, don't they barter with them? And
yeah.
Idiot. He's just passionate about the music.
Passionate.
Good for him.
Yeah, good on him. Presumably or probably him. A full bullshit story. But, probably. You know what? I read it on the internet, so...
It's probably
true. No, it's truth. Truth.
Truth. Truth on the internet.
Preach.
And so that was the first time also that it was called the Hottest 100, supposedly, was the fourth one, the first yearly one.
All right.
Do you know the song that won, that topped the first countdown?
93.
Is it the Cranberries?
Come on, Dave, we were three.
No, they were the following year.
We were 3 years old, Dave. Think back. What were you listening to when you were three?
The only older one I know that won is the Cranberries' Zombie. But
Zombie.
We used to have to. We had a.
In Cranberries actually were number three in the first in the 93 countdown with Linger.
That song, I used to think it was a great song until when I was in year seven. We
Did you study it in music?
Yeah, did you do it in music?
Yes, I was going to
Did you have to play it on guitar?
So you had to,
because it's only like four chords, the chorus bit, but we had a tone-deaf music teacher who would sing over the top. Tone-deaf music teacher, what's going on? It was so great.
It's not good. Yeah, we studied it in year seven. I was going to say that. It's so weird.
You guys are the same.
We're the same person.
Same person. Same destiny child.
All right, so...
The first song was number one in 1903. It was a gimmicky song. It was a comedy song.
Oh, is it I'm an Asshole?
It was Asshole by Dennis Leary.
Dennis Leary. Do you know that song?
Yeah,
That was the number one song.
Number one song. But I mean, that's the kind of thing that would come up, you know. Like,
but they thought, this has got legs. This is really good.
Well, you know, at the time, it was quite a catchy song. I think it sold pretty well commercially as well. But number two was Creep by Radiohead, which is still seen as a classic.
So, well, obviously, that's not quite as good as I'm an Asshole.
Yeah. No. It's like, if you go through the top 10 of that year, well, I think most of those are still seen as being pretty great.
Right, what else we got?
Blind Melon, No Rain, great tune.
Okay.
The Breeders' Cannonball, Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name.
Oh, I'm still, they're just no Asshole, but please.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
yawn.
I can't go on because nothing's going to be Asshole, is it?
Asshole.
I'm an asshole. Wow, my God.
Yo. Yeah, so that was the first countdown. The Cranberries did top the next one with Zombie. You'll be pleased to hear.
Sorry, how does Zombie go? No, I'm not singing it.
I can't remember.
I shan't.
Can't remember the tune.
It's not good.
I found this this La Trobe University press release about an ongoing study they've been doing into trying to figure out characteristics of songs and artists that tend to do better in the poll.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of joke songs and stuff in there?
Relative to how songs chart in the ARIA, the normal ARIA charts, the popular chart.
It is relative. So if it goes to number one in the Australian chart, it's more likely to be...
This Dr. Liam Lenton, he...
Could have been a colleague of mine.
Could have been a colleague.
decided to avoid a career in academia.
I love the idea of Dave as a doctor.
Dr. Dave.
Hold on, I'm trying to work out. So how long would I have done now? I'd be going into my third and final year. Damn, I should have done it.
It's not too late, buddy. It's not too late.
No, I could do it part-time over 6 years. I could become a doctor secretly. But now I've told people on a podcast.
Yeah, but nobody...
It's not a huge secret. Well, I mean, it is this podcast, so it is still a pretty big secret.
That's right.
Because no one really listens.
Hey, we do all right.
We're doing great.
We've charted. We've been in the top 20.
Hey, thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no. Yeah, that
sounded
mean.
Yeah, Matt's the ungrateful piece of shit, but Dave and I appreciate
it. No, I'm impressed. I'm actually impressed with the numbers.
I was trying to be self-deprecating. Right.
No, you're a piece of shit.
But all I was doing was telling our listeners that...
You were hurting people.
They're worthless.
Innocent people.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. Sorry, everybody.
Sorry, everybody.
So what does Dr. Liam at La Trobe say?
These are some of the things they've found to be advantageous to a song getting in the...
Are you trying to write the perfect song to get in there?
Yeah, I want to know the perfect song.
Well, a comedy song is clearly the... Dennis Leary asked. You just need one comedy song.
There's been a bunch of comedy songs that have made it, but they didn't note that. They said promotion and airplay on the station is an advantage, which probably...
Oh, yeah.
These days, I feel like every song that is number one, it's always been something that Triple J have smashed all year, right?
Not necessarily. I think what I found is that... often the number one song is a big crossover song. So Triple J will play them, play the song a bit and that artist a lot, but not necessarily that song.
I feel like sometimes it starts out on Triple J, then it gets really big.
Potentially.
Commercially. And then,
like, Vance Joy or something gets played on commercials and it's just everywhere. And then, that's how it probably helps because it's just in everyone's minds. Because I think a lot of people vote in the Hottest 100 that don't necessarily listen to Triple J all the time. So,
and then I think there was that campaign last year to get Taylor Swift in there as a joke, even though that Triple J's never played her.
I'm going
to
talk a little bit about that in a bit.
Ooh, sizzle.
Perfect. All right, so what else? How else do we get in the
So promotion and airplay on the station is an advantage, but that feels like that probably goes without saying a bit.
Yeah, they took 3 years to work that out.
No, it's ongoing. They're still checking it out. This is taking years and years. They also said that playing on Triple J festivals, like in the past, Big Day Out and stuff, helped because that was their touring bands at the time when the voting's open.
Oh, okay, cool. That's good.
So that, like, they're in your mind. You've just seen them, and thousands of people go to festivals like the Triple J.
Yeah, and also, I don't know if you guys do that thing where if you're going to a festival, you listen to the bands that are going to play at that festival
because
you want to enjoy the music that you recognise.
Yep. Yeah. You want to be more familiar.
So then you might become a fan of a band or more of a fan than something you wouldn't have previously if you weren't going to the festival.
I definitely do that. One of those festivals I go to a lot is Meredith, and usually my votes is one or two Meredith bands, probably for that exact reason, I guess. Apart from the fact that Meredith just pick fucking sweet tunes and bands to play.
Maybe this podcast now sponsored by Meredith.
Oh my God, imagine.
Matt would just die.
He'd die a happy man.
Also, whether or not the song had featured as an album of the week during the year.
Okay.
They still do that on Triple J, album of the week.
Yeah, and they go through and they like...
They just flog it.
And they talk about like, hey guys, this is blah blah from Powderfinger, and we wrote this song when, and then they play the song.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a bit of background, you get to know the band.
The references we're giving make it sound like we've recorded this podcast 10 years ago. Big day out.
Powderfinger.
It was just the first like non-controversial band I thought of.
Well, yeah, and they're also...
Well, I think they've got a great big history of being number one. Is this not right?
They're the only band ever to top the chart twice.
Oh. And in a row, right? Years.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's
and cool. Bernard Fanning got number one with his solo song.
A couple of years after that. So if Bernard Fanning's had three number ones.
Which song of Bernard Fanning's?
I just want to wish you well.
Nice. I was a big Bernard Fanning fan.
Fanning fan.
I had like the sheet music and I used to play all these songs on piano.
Oh,
so sad.
I used to pretend.
Sad. I love Bernard Fanning.
I'd prefer if his name was Fernard Banning, but
Beast. It's just me.
Wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all?
That'd be nice. Maybe you could be a cover.
Oh, yeah, you should do like a tribute.
Fernard Banning.
Fernard Banning.
Probably already exists, I reckon. They also found that early alphabetical ordering of the song name provides an advantage.
Oh, because it's often a drop down these days. And you vote on the internet. So you go, you log on, you have to pick your 10 songs, and you hit a button, and like songs drop down. You can
That's right.
Sort of scroll through them. So if your song starts with A,
you can pick them A, B, C, D, and just see the whole list of songs.
Aardvark. Just but name that, your song Aardvark.
But interestingly, they found that the band's name, which is also in it, you can also search alphabetically by band. Having your band starting with a letter early in the alphabet doesn't help.
It doesn't.
No.
Oh.
So people, if they're searching for a band, I guess they're looking specifically. But if they're looking through songs, they're just going, let's have a fun.
Have a browse, yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people...
Just browsing, thanks. Thank you, just browsing.
Do you think like a lot of people, they go in there, all guns blazing, they're like, they know their top three, maybe, like definitely, and then they're like, oh, I've got to pick seven more. And then there's a lot of songs they know, but they're like, oh. So then they just go, oh, 8, 9, 10, A, B, C, done. So those people get the pity votes. So if your song starts with
take
A,
it.
You've taken the easy way out.
I'd take the pity vote.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Big time.
There's a federal senator, Australian senator, who got voted in basically because his party sounded like the Liberal Party, but also... they do like a ballot to see where you are on the ballot. Like, that's all random. And he was first, and his name had his party had Liberal in the name. So he's got in based on people not reading it properly and him being right at the
just
start.
Going, Liberal,
done. Next. Now let's get a barbecue or whatever happens.
Let's get a barbecue.
That's great.
Let's get a sausage sizzle. What have we got to do today, hun? We've got to vote, then we've got to go to Bunnings and get a barbecue.
Get a barbecue.
We've got to get a gas bottle. We've got to set it up.
Yeah, probably
just
the
sausage.
We've
got to listen to the top 100.
Just the sausage, all right. Okay.
All right, mate.
What else? So, because Triple J promotes local acts, that's part of their charter, and they have a whole month. I think November's Australian Music Month, which is just leading up to when the
voting opens
in December, late December. So... That helps lots of Australian acts get in. Every year, there's been more and more Australian acts getting into the countdown. It started off at about 25% in the first year, and then it moved up to, in 2014, it was up to 59%.
Wow.
So over half the countdown is now Australian.
Because I'm fairly sure Triple J would have in their charter that they have to play a certain percentage of Australian music. I don't know what the percentage is.
Mm.
So that's
great.
It's obviously working.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, whether or not, I think there's something about that that's like, that's cool, that's great to give Australian bands a leg up. It probably makes the countdown, in terms of its legitimacy as a worldwide countdown, it shrinks that down a bit. You know, it's like you're saying this is a big worldwide poll, just 60% of the favourite songs in the world are
Australian. Of course, that's right. Yeah. All those Argentinian people love Australian music.
Yeah. So it makes it seem a little bit sillier. But, I think it's great because they're bands that just wouldn't be heard otherwise, I suppose. You've probably heard about this over the years. There's always a bit of controversy that males tend to dominate the countdowns.
Yeah, that's right.
There's always... it seems to be a preference from voters to go for male vocals especially, but even male-dominated bands. Although, I mean, you might say the voters do that, but there's probably a chicken and egg thing, right? Because there's also probably more male
who came
artists.
Who came first, man or woman? We'll never know.
Well, in the Bible, I think man. It's man. And then
well,
women,
there you go.
Women gets made out of the ribs.
Yeah, it's scientifically proven that men are superior.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. You got
that.
Bigger brains, you're stronger, smarter. We just sort of hang around until one of you marries us and then...
One of us?
Yeah, one of you.
Oh, okay.
Ugh,
jeez.
Fucking hell. Oh. Women.
No, I'm pretty sure that there have been... I did a trivia question once. That's what I do. I write trivia questions about the only four times that female singers have featured... Singers or musicians have featured in the number one slot.
Really?
Yeah, only three times of vocalists.
So it's the Cranberries.
Cranberries was the only one with the lead vocalist. The
and
other two was
Gautier and Kimbra.
Which Kimbra had a cameo.
Featuring. And
great
then,
song, though.
Angus and Julia Stone.
Yes.
Well done, Dave.
Well done, Dave.
And also...
Spider Bait.
Oh,
Janet
yes,
on
nice.
That's right, but
bass
guitar.
On the bass.
Yeah, but that's strange, though. Four, it's not that much. And only one lead vocalist.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
I'd say Julia Stone's probably a co-lead vocalist, but yeah.
Yeah, that's true, but not...
But her name does come second.
Yeah.
That's just
Angus
alphabetical.
Julia. Yep. I think that might be alphabetical.
Julia and Angus sounds
sure. Or maybe is he older? I don't know.
Don't put the A's.
Well, you assume
Julia.
He's older because he's a man. Check out the patriarchy over here.
Because men always come first.
I told you that Adam was older than Eve.
You have an older sister.
What?
Do I?
I do too.
I do
you as well?
Do I?
Oh my God.
Do people bet on it?
Yeah, it's...
You can't. It's quite big business.
Yeah, it is. There's the favourite for this year, which is going to have already come out, so...
The day before this is released.
Is called Major Lazer Lean On, I think.
Okay.
That's seen as the strong
favourite. The favourite.
Yeah.
Cool.
But what kind of odds are we looking at for if you were to bet on that?
I think it's... That one's coming, like, it's only at paying a few bucks. Like, it's a pretty strong favourite. But it's weird,
let's
right?
Let's put money on it right now.
That. There are people who know the result already.
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy that you can bet on something that is already decided.
Maybe we should put $50 on it and then the listeners will know whether we've made money or not by the time it's come out.
Oh, yeah, good one. But I haven't even been paying attention. Do you know what the problem is? Like, I, for the last few years especially, I've always had to work on Australia Day. So I haven't paid... as much attention to it as I would like to.
Do you have a favourite year,
hang on.
Matt?
King Kunta's into number one favourite. I'm voting for that. King Kunta's at 250, Lean On 275.
Oh.
250 for Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Which to me, I don't want to put down Kendrick Lamar like I know a lot of people like him, but to me that sounds like in 10 years that will be a joke song.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I really think so.
Ah.
Yeah, I think people will look back and go, yeah, well, remember that was funny.
I don't think so. I think you're wrong.
Let's listen back to this in 10 years. We'll meet
right,
on this
exactly.
very day
I'll
in 10
like
years'
I'll feel like a
time.
Fool at 35.
That album's topping yearly critic charts over and over again. They're saying it's album of the year, it's the best album, critically acclaimed album. People love the album.
Maybe I just
he's changing music
with
through his album.
With that album.
Maybe I just don't get I just don't really get hip hop to be honest.
You're very white.
I've got a bone to pick with hip-hop.
Interestingly, do you guys know how many hip-hop songs... Because hip-hop's obviously quite a popular genre on Triple J.
Mm.
How many hip-hop Great. Songs do you think have been number one in the Hottest 100 Countdown?
Six.
I can't think of any. Zero.
Well, it's in between you two. It's one.
Ooh. I think Dave was closer.
What was the big...
What was the number one?
Hip-hop.
Hip-hop. I mean...
Hip?
You're probably,
hip-hop?
If you're thinking hip-hop, you're probably not necessarily...
Hip-hop
he's not the most hip-hop of hip-hop guys, but he's, like, he is hip-hop. All the same.
I'm out.
It was only a few years ago. Macklemore.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, you say that's a hip-hop
oh, yeah.
song. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So
also a joke song, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit of a gimmicky song, I
yeah,
guess.
Maybe... gimmicky is how
gimmicky,
I feel a bit
yeah.
like the King Kunta as well.
Yeah... Yeah, all right, look, agree to disagree.
Like, I feel like that in, like, 20 years, it'll come on, you'll be like, yeah, this is great, and your kid will be like, what the hell is this?
Which I
yeah,
feel like we probably said about a lot of Beatles songs.
A lot of music.
Or a lot of, you know.
Well.
Dave, please.
Have a little respect.
Sorry to diss Kendrick Lamar.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
You guys know there's been a heap of spin-off countdowns. Like, they know they're onto a good thing. It's their highest rating day of the year and that sort of stuff.
Oh, so they do the 100 to 200
They
or something.
Do, yeah. They now do the runner-ups. The second 100, which is great. I often prefer that countdown because they're the sort of... They're the popular songs that have been the overplayed songs.
What other spin-offs are there?
Other spin-offs, they've had the hottest 100s of all time. They've done that a couple of times. They did it.
I feel like you need to say that more dramatically. Of all time.
In 1998, they did it, and in 2009. And like I said before, it smells like Teen Spirit won it both times. So that I kind of like that idea of doing it every 10 years or so, kind of refreshing it.
Yeah, you have a bit of time to have some new songs, have some new people's opinions. Yeah.
They did a. An Australian album's hottest 100 in 2011.
Oh.
And that was topped by, would you believe it?
Back in Black.
Powderfinger.
Oh, Powderfinger.
Odyssey number 5.
I'm happier with Powderfinger.
Back in Black was number 3.
Oh, what was number 2?
Number 2, Frog Stomp, Silverchair.
Oh, okay.
Living End, number 4. Oh, and In Excess Kick, number 5. The all-time countdowns, they changed a bit. It's fun to sort of see where... Over 10 years, or in this case 11 years, how the all-time countdown changed. So Nirvana stayed in number one spot both times.
Is Dennis Leary in there anywhere?
Dennis Leary, I don't think he was, no. Throw Your Arms Around Me came in at number 2 of the all-time countdown in 98. It also did come in at number 2 in the original 89 countdown and the following year in 1990. So it was a big song for Triple J and Double J listeners early on. But it started to slip in the all-time countdown of 2009. It only made number 23. Also, in 1998, in the yearly countdown, Paul McDermott unplugged from Good News Week. His version of Throw Your Arms Around Me came in at number 31.
When was that, sorry?
In 98.
Wow.
Yeah. Fact.
Do you know what I frequently YouTube? Because Paul McDermott has a great voice.
He's a good singer.
Good singer. And I frequently look up, there's a song that he did... He did it at the gala one year. I can't remember what year it was. And it was just called Slow Ride Home, I think. And it's amazing. He's just got these guys come out and play with him, and it's beautiful. So YouTube that.
Sweet tip.
Thank you.
Sweet tip.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
And then Pearl Jam in 98 in the all-time countdown came in at number 3 with Alive. And then 11 years later when they did the countdown again in 09, it slipped down to 25. A similar sort of downward trajectory to Throw Your Arms Around Me.
So in 10 years' time, it might slip out of the top 50.
Could do, yeah. It makes sense because it's like it's drifting further back in your memory. Interestingly, some songs get higher up. Like,
oh, yeah, so you can improve.
Yeah.
Like a fine wine or cheese.
I was wondering if they could get any... Like, I don't know, can a song gets better in your mind?
Yeah.
Or is it used on a campaign or something so you remember it?
What does happen, like, do you know the Foo Fighters' Everlong?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That
was a great song, and that's considered a classic.
Yeah, that didn't even make its yearly countdown.
In the Hot 100?
Yeah, so the year that wow. song came out, it didn't even make it. So it was that was from 1997, and yeah, it didn't make it in anywhere.
Yeah.
In 2006, an acoustic version of it came in the yearly countdown at number 61. So it was starting to gain in popularity. Then in the 2009 all-time countdown, it came in at number 9.
Top 10. It just went straight into the top 10.
Didn't make its yearly 100, but it made the all-time top 10.
That's really strange, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's long been a favourite of fans, but it's just been building. It's got a great film clip as well, I think, which helps. Rage plays it a lot.
It's a really great film clip. It's a Gondry film clip, I believe.
So,
and I think David Letterman requested it to be the final song played on his show.
That's right.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, so they're the all-time countdowns. They've also had the Australian album one. But they also did... the most recent one of these that they did was the 20-year countdown. So they... The 20 years of the Hottest 100. So from 93 to 2012. You could vote for any songs released in that 20-year period.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Cool.
So that was counted down in 2013. And the number one song in that ended up being Wonderwall by Oasis.
Oh, wow.
Today is going to be the day that we're going to throw it back to you.
Foo Fighters' Everlong was number six in that, so it's...
Believe that anybody...
That's not Everlong.
Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes came in number two when it came in its yearly one at number three.
Boom, 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 boom,
yeah, it's crazy,
boom.
Isn't it?
So boom. It's just like songs, I think some songs slip out. Over time, they're seen as they've aged poorly and other songs become classics. You know, and sometimes it is because I think in one of the all-time countdowns, Tiny Dancer made it.
Hold me closer, Tiny Dancer.
And that was...
he never lets me get out more than a sentence. Probably wise, so but also frustrating.
2009 all-time countdown.
Power through. Please go, do it.
I think I'm going to edit out all the talking of this, and it's just going to be like a 15-minute episode of you singing.
Oh, medley.
Great. Jess Medley.
That's
a real person. I met her once. is that a person?
I don't know.
So Tiny Dancer.
Tiny Dancer made the all-time countdown at number 66, never having made any of the other countdowns before it, any of the all-time countdowns prior to that. And
count the headlights on the highway.
The theory on that would be because of the Almost Famous
scene.
Lay me
down in sheets of linen.
You remember that scene in Almost Famous?
Yes.
That
you had a busy day today.
That gave that song a new life.
And it's funny when stuff does that.
Yeah. Also, the Shins, their song New Slang featured in Garden State.
Oh, Garden State was big, wasn't it? It was a massive soundtrack.
So it didn't feature in its year of release either, but in the 2009 all-time countdown, it came in number 72.
It's like crazy when it misses its year, but then gets in the all-time.
I think you could say Zach Braff choosing that song for that movie, and it wasn't that big of a song until a few years after it came out because of that movie. It's interesting. So yeah, they're sort of the spin-off ones. They're sure to do more of those into the future because I think they're great fun, and it normally is on a work day rather than a public holiday. It makes them go down so much sweeter for a work week. Love it. I fucking love Countdown so much, as you probably know. Any sort of list, I'm in it.
Matt, I want to tell the listeners about this. You have you make playlists of songs on Spotify.
Yeah, I'm a fucking wildcat. I make playlists of songs on Spotify.
But you do like a crazy song, like here are 50 songs where they have a pause.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you have strange. What are some categories you've used?
That's probably my favorite one. Pause is so good because when you're playing it and you're.
But it's just a strange thing to bring all these songs. So strange. Different genres, just a pause in the song and then it starts again.
We did it because the first time we did the pause mix was with a group of friends and we all had to bring a pause song in. No one knew what the pause song was.
So you are a wildcat.
So we played them and we're drinking beers. It was New Year's Eve one year and it's just gone midnight. So we're celebrating and to celebrate, we put on the pause mix.
are you all waiting for him?
We're standing in a circle around the music outside in country Victoria, and every time a song came on where there was a... Every song did have a pause, but every time the pause happened, everyone just yelled, pause, pause. How good was that pause? It went forever.
What, but you didn't and even listen one... to the pause. You filled the silence with noise.
The pause, yeah, but it was
losing exhilarating. The effect of the pause.
And then one of the guys, Rhino, he chose a song that he swore had a pause.
Oh, no. Are you telling me that he didn't listen back to confirm the pause?
He's like the live version has a magnificent pause, and he's played the studio version.
No pause.
It was a Prince song.
So it got to the end, and you were like, where was the pause? Yeah. And he was like, what?
He's like, I swear there was a pause.
That's so great. Yeah. Rhino.
Bloody love a playlist.
You do.
A friend who also is into it, Dan, he's done ones that are like, he's a more obscure. Like, I couldn't think of any of this one. He's like, songs where the singer's eyes are slightly too close together or something like that. It's like, I don't even know where that, where do you draw the line?
Do you have to measure that? Is it a percentage of photos?
That one did not take off. I think he put one song on it.
Yeah, I reckon he had one idea and he was like, there you go.
Ball's in your court. What does that even mean? Anyway, and then what else is...
If you are out there and you know a singer whose eyes are too close together, please tweet us a picture.
Yeah. And what song would you choose? For the playlist. Let's get it.
That's right. We'll get it happening. We'll get Dan's playlist off the ground.
It also feels like a slightly mean-spirited playlist.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's not about the music. It's about this weird-looking person.
But he's like, the songs are got to be great as well.
Oh, so that's just too hard.
Cowbell was a good one. That's it. Classic tunes with cowbell. Hand clapping. Like, these are, like, lots of songs have hand clapping. Mm-hmm. But they're probably more common ones. But yeah. Fuck, I love a fucking love a playlist.
You're a bloody wildcat. You are, mate. Settle down over here, champ.
I will not settle. One of the big news items about the Hottest 100 in recent years was the Tay-Tay controversy.
Oh, yes.
You guys familiar with that?
Am I familiar with a Tay-Tay?
Yeah, you've seen Taylor Swift live.
Yeah, not by choice, but...
Oh, come on.
What do you mean, not by choice?
I'm not a huge fan.
You accidentally paid $300 to get a seat.
I didn't pay. My friend had a spare ticket.
Not by choice.
And she'd been given the tickets.
Did you offer to pay? Gift. What?
Well, she'd been given the tickets. She didn't pay.
But yeah. From who?
That's great.
An ex-boyfriend. They broke up after he'd given her the tickets, so she had two free tickets. She's like, you're coming with me. And I was like, do you want to take somebody who really wants to go? She's like, no, I think it'll be funnier to take you.
I think I'm up for anything like that, especially if it's free.
It was great.
I bet she put on a great show.
It was a great show. But there was a girl in front of me, like, nearly fainting. She was in tears at one point because Taylor Swift was in the same... breathing the same air. And I was just like, yeah, Shake It Off's fun. All right, we're done.
In similar situations, I've seen Nickelback. I've seen Michael Bublé.
Where did you Boobs see? Would be great.
Nickelback,
both
really?
Both at Rod Laver Arena.
I want to know what Nickelback was like. Were they actually all right?
I just spent the...
Boobs would be great and neither of you noticed.
Boobs would be great.
Well, at the end too.
Imagine.
Oh, man.
Matt is simulating a... chest full of breasts.
A chest full of breasts. Oh, no.
He's done it again. Nickelback all right?
Nickelback, like...
because they get a lot of shit, but I think it's probably a little too much now.
Yeah, I agree. I think they've definitely tipped too far over the... it's just like the easy target thing, which is always a bit annoying. But yeah, they were fine. Like, whether or not you think their music's much good, that's up to you. I would say that it is not as shit as, like...
as people want you to believe. Yeah.
But it is pretty shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they say stuff like, I want your pants around your feet, stuff like pretty that, good. It's pretty, I mean, that's
romantic.
You get behind that.
So anyway, yeah.
Oh, so the Taylor Swift controversy. Mm.
So in the 2014 poll, there was a social media campaign to get Taylor Swift into the Hottest 100 with their song, Shake It Off.
I'll
stay out too late.
And it wasn't just people talking about... that are big fans of Taylor was. It was more of a shit-stirring thing, right?
It was a bit of both. I think there were definitely people who were into it, but there were also, yeah, it was
people
definitely
who were like, let's hijack this countdown.
Yeah, let's...
and make a song that Triple J would never play, because it's quite an alternative station.
Yeah, it kind of is, but the countdown is always...
it doesn't have, like, Rihanna or Lady Gaga or things like that, does
no,
it?
No, okay.
One Direction, Justin Bieber?
Can I... I was going to do this later, but I'll do this now. Here are some surprising songs... that have made it into the countdown over the years.
All right, okay. I'll tell you whether I'm surprised.
Okay, great. Let me know.
Your eyebrows will tell us, Dave. You've got a very expressive face.
When were you born again? 1990.
1990.
So you might not be familiar with some of these early songs. These ones are from 1993. K.D. Lang, Constant Craving.
Just from K.D. Lang, I'm a little bit surprised.
I know who she is, but I don't know the song. Okay, I'm surprised that made it.
1993, also... in at number 29, Ace of Base with All That She Wants.
all that she wants is another baby, and he's gone tomorrow, and all that she wants.
I don't know the song.
Another baby.
Still is helping. Sorry, this is not helping.
It was a, like,
do you
a,
know that song?
A Scandinavian.
No, I know who Ace of Base are.
I'm sure, haven't we talked about that before? Anyway.
Again in 1993, at number 78. E17 with Deep. I don't know the song, but E17.
Mm-hmm.
Was it like a boy band?
Yeah.
They were a pre-Backstreet Boys boy band. 94, Kylie Minogue, Confide in Me. I mean, that was kind of a cool song. Also in 1994, Tom Jones.
Okay, I'm
if
surprised.
If I only knew
I'm surprised.
What I could do to make you love me, make you love me.
I'm surprised, yeah.
That was top 10.
Wow.
Wow, that's great.
They came in number 9. 1995, TLC, Waterfalls.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Oh, this is
going
to be so hard to listen to.
Waterfalls is...
just looks so offended.
Oh, that's so good. She was so offended.
But it's going to be because of that thing, which is what we were talking about off air.
Backpedal.
It's because people hate listening to people who can sing.
I cannot sing.
If you were going to, like, I'm fucking about and it's like, look, this dickhead, he's being a fuckhead. I'll let it pass.
I'll let him do a Tom Jones impression.
But she can sing. Take it elsewhere. Not on the podcast, sister.
I think when you listen back to this, you will go, oh no, she can't sing at all. My mistake. Please stick to the rivers.
I am, I'm a bit surprised about TLC, yep.
Yeah.
Gonna have it your way or nothing at all.
What else?
97, number 11, Smash Mouth, Walking on the Sun.
Really?
Might as well be walking on the sun.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
And 11 as well.
Yeah, that's high.
In 97, Kylie Minogue again, Did It Again.
Oh yeah, I'm surprised. Yep.
Did It Again.
That's surprising.
1999, Madonna, Beautiful Stranger.
Beautiful Stranger. Yeah.
And 2000 again, Madonna with Music.
Wasn't Beautiful Stranger in like an Austin Powers?
Austin Powers, yeah, that was probably.
That might be why.
And he was in the film clip.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I remember it. Yeah.
Do you remember what Music is?
I know what Music is? yeah, Matt.
Matt, have you been listening to the last hour of the show?
I am Music.
The song by Madonna.
Music.
Jess.
Is that Yeah, I do know that one.
Well,
it's not Music. No.
I reckon that could be a
somewhere,
small clip from it.
Somewhere in there, she says music.
She says at one point,
Music.
Yeah, so they were all, I went through and skimmed through and they were all...
They were standouts.
Standouts to me, but there were heaps of songs I hadn't even heard of, but other, like, Kylie Minogue had another song in, but it was a duet with Nick Cave, which sort of makes it make more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he made her cool. But what about the Taylor Swift thing? What did they decide on that?
So, Triple J... So, it became a hashtag, which was trending in a big way. Hashtag Tay for Hottest 100. And companies like BuzzFeed kind of started it, and KFC jumped on board and had promotions around it.
Buy a piece of KFC and vote for Taylor Swift.
Well, they
afterwards.
Said, tell us... something about tell us why you'd wanted to vote for Taylor Swift with this hashtag and KFC hashtag, and we will give you
a bucket of chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
Far out.
And yeah, it built up a lot of momentum. Triple J didn't comment on it until the morning of the countdown. They were just like basically giving it the no comments, which is what not commenting is, sort of another way of saying that. So they didn't comment.
No, thanks for explaining that to our international listeners.
They were giving it the no comment sort of answer.
In which they decided against commenting.
Yeah.
Sans
comment.
Sans.
Am I led to believe that no comment was made?
Nien commente
made. More or less, Dave. Yeah,
more or less.
I mean, you're simplifying it a bit there, but...
Well,
classic Beyonce.
But then on the morning of the countdown, just after the countdown started, they released a website. Which was a spoof of a BuzzFeed website with a listicle. And it was called 8 Hilarious But Totally True Reasons You Won't Hear Shake It Off in the Hottest 100. and they so they listed the eight reasons. They were number one, don't BuzzFeed the trolls. As well as being the internet's primary source of cat gifts, BuzzFeed also is an international media company worth approximately $850 million.
Wow.
The attempt at shaking their hashtag weight around to directly influence a publicly voted music poll started as a bit of a joke between myself and a few colleagues to teach those music snobs a lesson. That's a quote from BuzzFeed. Whilst their advertisers enjoyed the sweet page views, it's not legit for other media to try and troll the poll. That was reason one. So there's eight of these reasons. And they've got gifts and stuff. So it made it look much like that. Number two, haters gonna vote, vote, vote. And they said, as a result, it became pretty clear pretty quick that a lot of people just wanted to prod some hipsters for the lols. So that was another reason. That was
I felt that it was.
They said, number three, do we really want to talk about it every year? Basically saying if we let Taylor Swift in, then next year, which has happened anyway, there's a Bieber.
Oh, people are trying to do it again.
People are trying to get Bieber in. But they were saying if we let Taylor Swift in, it's just going to happen every year. And it's ruin it. Number four, not every KFC idea is a good idea. So the Hottest 100 is an opportunity for individuals everywhere to cast their votes for their for reals favourite songs of the year. The invitation doesn't extend to fried chicken companies eager to wrap their greasy fingers around a freshly minted hashtag.
Oh, a burn.
And yeah, it's like it's going for the burn. So whilst a chance at some free battered chook is tempting, we'd prefer it if people voted for the love of music, not for the love of cholesterol.
Oh, that's great.
Cop that, Colonel.
Last time KFC came up with a great idea, this happened, and they show the, what's the one where the buns are chicken?
So disgusting.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So instead of buns, you had chicken holding the chicken burger together.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
That was a photo. I just read out a photo.
I didn't think it could be done, but you did it.
You did it.
You did it.
Number five, more like TK for Hottest 100. They said 18-year-old Adelaide rapper TK Meidzer made it into the list at number 100. Taylor Swift was in, she would have been bumped out. So they're like, what about her? It's a bit unfair sort of thing.
That's cool.
Although they overstated a bit, I think, maybe. They said, you know what that would be? It'd be a travesty.
Okay, well, she made it to 100, so let's not... Yeah.
They said, number six, 13,511 more reasons. Taylor Swift got played on Triple J a total of zero times in 2014, adding to her cumulative total of zero plays since we started as a radio station in 1975. Luckily, I mean, some of those years she wasn't born, so it's a pretty ridiculous sort of, you know. Luckily, other Australian radio stations picked up the slack and played Shake It Off 13,511 times and counting since it was released in August. If we included... Oh, there's another photo. I'm going to read it anyway. If we included every song we never played on our website shortlist, it'd be as big as this comically large cat.
And is it a picture? Is it a picture? Of a rather large cat. That is a large cat.
That is
the nurse holding that cat, or vet nurse for presumably looks in pain.
Yeah,
from holding that comically large cat.
That's quite a big cat, but I have seen a tiger.
Oh, me too.
So
I wasn't going to read all these out because this does feel a bit tedious. Number seven, I'm number one, so why try harder? And that's saying after all the tweets, etc., and trolling and everything, corporate. Intervention, Shake It Off still only got enough votes to become number 12.
Oh, right. I was going to ask if they ever released if it was going to be number one.
Wow.
Yeah, which is interesting. So they said, they're basically saying on that one, they're like, still, with all that stuff, still didn't beat Chet Faker because he got thousands of more votes.
That's kind of cool.
And number 12 is pretty good. I mean, yeah. I was just like, oh, whatever they decide. I don't really give a fuck. It's their countdown, whatever.
Do you reckon there's ever just been like one vote in it between, say, number one and number two?
There hasn't been, but I'll tell you soon the closest ever between one and two, and it was pretty close.
Cool.
But normally it's hundreds or thousands of votes, but yeah. And then the eighth reason was, I mean, I think you're stretching to call this a reason, but it's, we ain't even mad. That's reason number eight. They're saying, to be clear, Triple J doesn't have a beef with Taylor Swift. She's smart, she's cool, she's successful, and she has great taste in BFFs. I got a photo of her with Lord.
Aww.
Which is funny, yeah. It's like Lord and another huge international pop star. They're happy to play her, but anyway, whatever. It's like it's an interesting line where you draw the...
Yeah.
Between two pop, doesn't need it or whatever.
Too commercial, and, yep.
Well, I think the line is probably just whether you play it on your station or not.
But not necessarily, because they've also had songs make their countdown in the past that never got played as well. That is, and they even say it on their website that you can vote for songs that haven't been played. It's not an issue. So that, it's, they played Lorde because she wasn't big when they started playing her, I guess. So yeah, they maybe they see her as their own.
But if people had just voted for Taylor Swift without the huge push...
Yeah, then they would have had no way of... It would have been a lot harder to justify pulling it.
And would they have, though?
They should. They would say they wouldn't have. But, I mean, there would have been no publicity about it. People wouldn't even know. True. I guess some people inside there would know. But I'd say they would play it. I mean, that's why they've played Madonna in the past and stuff. Because there was
that's what people vote for.
Yeah, there was
that's
no hashtag for Madonna. She just got the votes. So I reckon they definitely would. Mm. And they do put in... There are heaps of really commercial songs that get in that don't get a lot of Triple J play. It's just... Yeah. I think it's... It makes sense to me because it... I think the main one is if they let it in, the countdown would get hijacked. Every year it would be more of those things until it was just like unrecognizable and they'd have no control over it. It'd just be... Twitter would decide.
Yeah.
Hashtag... Get do going to the Triple J Hottest 100.
It's a long hashtag.
Episode 6 of our show or whatever.
That's a really long
Try
hashtag.
Try and get that in the top 10.
Is this still on the one hashtag, that everything you're saying? It's a long hashtag.
I haven't even signed off
I don't even
yet.
Think
this
that's enough.
Still part of the hashtag.
You got too many characters.
Stop typing now.
That's too many characters.
That's going to be a 3 or 4-parter.
Yeah.
That's fine. Triple J will listen then.
Well, please don't tweet that on our account.
Please, Dave.
If you tweet it, we will delete it. Tweet it, delete it.
Hashtag... If you tweet it, we will delete it.
Yeah, that you can hashtag.
End hashtag. You got to sign off your hashtags.
You don't have to write end hashtag.
No, you do. The pause means, in this case.
Put that in your playlist.
Put that in your, and smoke it. What? I don't even know what that means. And then they finished with this, which is always, it feels like I hate when people, if someone's upset about something, I hate when people say stuff like this. They go, now it's time to take a breath. Remember, there's a lot of other shit going on in the world. And just enjoy the tunes for what they are. You know, and there's a lot of... I'm upset about this. And I also am... And I know there's bad stuff happening. And I'm also worried about that. But I'm... don't tell me I can't have an opinion, be worried about this. Anyway.
Yeah. Also, if you think about that all the time, what's the point in voting for a shitty music countdown?
What's the point in doing anything ever?
There's a lot of bad stuff going on in the world.
I think the point
don't
is,
waste your time voting.
Pick your battles.
Yeah, collaborate, shortlisting songs. Don't spend 4 hours making a top 10 for the music.
It's like, I think it's kind of like pick your battles. Like, yeah, get fired up over, really important causes, but it's just a list. Like, just
Oh, yeah, I have no problem with them taking it out, shaking it off. Checking it out, whatever. Interestingly, in 2002, Triple J hosts Will Anderson and Adam Spencer had their own sort of push to get a song into the countdown. Yeah? Shocked by that?
Yeah, look at these eyebrows. What?
What was the song? I actually don't know this
so,
at all.
So, in 2002, these guys were the Breakfast Host and they created a fictional metal band named Salmon Hater, and they gave the band
that's really good.
They gave the band a history, including that they were from the hills of Glenelg in Adelaide, and that they were part of the South Australian fish metal scene, which included bands such as Trout Destroyer. And they came up with the name of Salmon Hater's first single, which was 6.66, 100th of the number of the beast.
Yeah, 666.
Adam Spencer's a big mathematician.
Yeah, he's
there.
A real nerdy guy.
And then not long after they were joking about that on air, just, talking shit, they got a CD on their desk that had been sent in without them asking for it. Someone had gone out and recorded the song 6.66 is 100th of the number of the beast. And so they played it a few times on the show and then started joking about how the listeners should vote for it in the Hottest 100. And they did, and it came in at number 26.
Yay!
Wow, I didn't realise that. That's really... See, that's fun. That's more fun because it's part of the station.
Yeah, that's fun.
The station bore the song, not...
I agree with that as well, but it doesn't tick all the those eight boxes that they had. Like, it still pushes out TK Meidzer from 100 position, right? For a joke song that they made up for fun. So it's still sort of... It's still going against something. But that was also that was 12 years ago.
I just want to say, Matt, take a deep breath. Think about it. There's a lot of shit going on in the world. Just enjoy the tunes.
I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, there is, isn't there? Oh, my God.
Even in 2002, apparently there was shit going on in the world, so...
What am I doing on this fucking podcast? I should be out healing people.
With your magic powers.
I'm going to get a doctorate of podcastery, and I'm going to heal people. I still, like, for a long time, I'm like, if you're a doctor, it's medical. You're a medical... Doctor, you can't be a doctor. People who say they're a doctor. If you call yourself doctor something, I'm like, it needs to be.
I reckon too. If I had a doctor, I don't think I'd call myself Dr.
But my chiropractor doesn't even use his doctor title because he's scared that like he'd be on a plane and somebody would be like, Dr. Nelson, help us. This is somebody's having a heart attack. And he's like, I have basic first aid. I don't know. I'm a chiropractor. Is his back okay?
I can crack his back pretty good.
I can line him up good, but I cannot save his life.
It is total, like, why do you need it anyway? It's funny when people, because like we were talking about with Monarchy and stuff, Sirs, Knights of the Order of Australia and stuff. So you get to choose whether or not you use the name. Do you reckon you'd use Sir?
If I was a Sir?
Yeah.
Big time.
If I was elderly and
Sir David Warnocky.
Do you get to choose if you... Yeah. Because people would refer to you as Sir.
You don't have to.
I wouldn't say, hey guys, I'm Sir David.
You can opt out.
You couldn't be Sir Dave. It'd have to be David.
There's no reason that you have these things apart from going around going... People who like find send out your telephone bill.
Yeah.
Oh, this is for a
Sir Matthew Stewart.
No, you could be could be a dame.
Dame's not as good.
Have they gotten rid of that yet in Australia?
Dame.
Dames and Sirs? I know Abbott brought it back, but surely that was going to be taken away.
You know when, as a doctor, it's prestigious to be Doctor so-and-so, but if you're a surgeon, it's back to Mr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like,
you rank again.
But if you call a surgeon Doctor, they'll correct you and be like, Mr. But then how do people know? How do they differentiate?
You just
Your mail
know.
Just says Mr. It's not all. It's not spelt differently.
What they do is they look at the Maserati in your driveway and they realise that you...
This is probably a surgeon.
This guy's
a wanker.
He's a surgeon of podcasting, for sure.
Slicing and dicing lols.
That's pretty good. Put that on my res.
Don't give me that.
So the Salmon Hater song came in at number 26, and it came in ahead of songs, like the songs, the handful after that were by bands like The Vines, Silverchair, Body Jar and The Hives, like all these big bands. It'd be so weird.
Wow.
So weird.
I'm impressed.
It's not that weird.
I'm
like,
happy.
If you take a deep breath, you'll realise it's not that weird, and
of
that
course.
Weirder things are happening.
Wow, I never thought about this in the context of the world.
bloody hell, this is...
It's pretty
funny.
Hard. It's actually hard to be impressed by anything once you start thinking about that.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, and we're all just going to die, you know? Like, just hope you don't mind if I end on fun facts. I know this is kind of your thing.
No, but I like that
it's really
spreading.
Started becoming a thing for everyone.
Yeah, I like it. It's just a nice way to end.
Okay, so I'll hit you with some.
We'll call them the Jess Perkins fun facts.
Yeah, JPFF.
JPFF.
Now, and I want to bring this in. I've just thought of that then. I'll tell you the fact. I'm not going to say they're fun facts. I want you, Jess, to tell me whether or not it's a fun fact.
Love it.
Fun or unfun?
Got it.
Oh, wow. Brutal. No,
yeah,
don't.
You've got to be
honest.
A
little bit
I don't. If these are all fun, then I'm out.
Okay.
This is the last podcast I'll do.
All right.
You got to be honest with me,
Dramatic.
Jess.
Okay.
I need you to respect my intelligence, please.
Well.
Okay, first fact. Mm-hmm. The longest average duration of songs in the Hottest 100 was 4 minutes and 16 seconds in 1995. And the shortest average duration of songs was in 1998 with 3 minutes and 38 seconds.
Interesting. Not fun.
Not fun.
Well, okay. There's the benchmark set.
Well, it's interesting, but I wouldn't tell it at a party, you know?
I wonder if... In the background, we've got Sammy Jay and Roundy rehearsing. I'm just going to do a quick... Because they're a musical act. I wonder if Sammy J's ever charted in the Hottest 100. No results. Is that a fun fact?
No.
No, okay. Now the fact, in 2006, with their song Wake Up coming in at number 53, The Living End made it into the countdown for the 10th year in a row.
That is pretty fun fact.
Only band to ever do that.
I did like Living End. I did like that song. Suicidal Education.
And there's, so they've got the record for that. There's been a bunch of other bands that have been in consecutive years. Dave Grohl, which over different acts, made it in 9 times between 93 and 2001. Whitlam's made it in 7 years in a row between 96 and 02.
Damn.
Regurgitator between 95 and 01 made it 7 times. And Something for Kate also made it 7 times between 97 and 2003.
These are very facty. Not that fun.
Okay, great. All right.
Again, interesting.
Interesting.
But you're missing the point of the fun facts, which is the fun bit.
Right.
Come on, Matt.
These are just facts, which has been the whole show.
I mean,
now these need to be fun. You have just written facts. You haven't written fun. Okay. All right.
So I was aware at 3 a.m. this morning. In 2005, Wolf Mother had 6 tracks in the 100.
Wow.
Really?
6% of the countdown.
What were they? Do you know?
That is still a record. It was pretty much half their.
That's half their album.
Let's not name them. All right, let's not name them. I thought you wanted fun facts.
I wanted to sing them, that's all.
There's been 7 foreign language songs that have made the countdown over the years.
99 Luftballons.
9.
Very good. What are some foreign language ones?
I haven't heard of half of these.
Okay, names ones you have heard of.
I've heard of half of these.
Okay, great.
Don't know this one. Agalo by Angelique Kidjo.
Nope.
Came in at number 99 in 1994.
Don't
and
know.
The language is Yoruba, which I don't know. I don't know any of these things. In 2000, so that was the only one in the whole 90s that was foreign language. In the 2000s, there's been a few more. Rammstein's Lynx 234.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised. Du Hast didn't seem to appear anywhere, which is surprising. And that was a German song, came in number 17. Camille, French singer. Ta douleur. That's probably not right, but it sounded French. Came in number 29. I think that's the one that goes. Is that racist if I'm mumbling the French words? Alrighty. Sigur Ross's Gobbledygook. Came in at number 93.
Okay, that's racist.
Look, man. If you can't pronounce the words, don't just make them up.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, no.
That's the hardest I've ever got him.
You've broken him.
Yes. Fuck. So, Gobbledygook, which is a real song by Sigur Rós, came in number 93 in 2008. It's Icelandic.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a word in...
I don't think it is.
So, yeah, there's something. It's not that... I'm going to cut you off right there. Not fun. In 2002, Dave Grohl was involved with 10 tracks in the 100.
Wow, because he's Queens of the Stone Age drummer as well at the time.
Queens of the Stone
it?
Age drummer who had 5 songs in the canon, 4 songs with Foo Fighters, and 1 with Nirvana.
Wow. Because
Nirvana had a greatest hits release that year with a new
track. Oh, a new song.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, 10%. Dave Grohl, what a...
10%.
That's what crazy. A guy.
That's great.
I was telling you...
That was fun.
That was a fun fact.
Yes.
You all right, one.
So that's 2 fun facts. How many to become a list of fun facts?
You need one more, I reckon.
Yeah,
I need
one more, okay. It actually has to be fun.
I think you might love this one.
I better.
Probably won't. So I was saying before, our thrift shop was the only first.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket.
Yeah.
I'm running, looking for a hummer. This is fucking awesome.
So that was the first and only hip hop song to make number one so far.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, there was a few songs that made number 3. So they were all at equal highest. They were. Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise.
Oh, what a great
in 95.
Song.
Gorillaz featuring De La Soul with Feel Good Inc. in 2005.
Also I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And Hilltop Hoods 3 times have been number 3.
Ah, oh, that hurts.
In with High Road, Chase That Feeling and Cosby Sweater in 06, 09 and 14.
Mm.
I was going to say it was interesting. I didn't want to show that. But that is that?
Mm-hmm. 3 times for 3. That's pretty, that's kind of fun.
All right. I guess it's fun.
Well, there you have it. That's the third fun fact.
Third
yes,
fun.
I made it. I'll give
fun.
You... There's just a couple more here. Get through. One of them answers a question of Jess's earlier.
Ooh.
Hopefully that's fun. But firstly, there's been, we were talking about this before as well, there's been many instances of songs making the countdown without any Triple J airplay, according to this article I read. although there are no real records of songs that were played on Triple J in the 90s. Now they've got, there's websites like J-Play and stuff, which tracks it all. But it's believed that Alanis Morissette was never played on Triple J. And in 1995, she had three songs in the countdown. You Oughta Know. No. Hand in My Pocket.
I know it. I'm not singing. I can't do Alanis Morissette.
And All I Really Want. U2 reportedly reached number 40 with Elevation, despite not getting any airplay in 2001.
Wow. Elevation.
I'll see. You'll sing U2, but you won't sing Alanis.
In 2009, the Foo Fighters came in at number 100 with their song Wheels, which is like a bonus track of their greatest hits or something, and that was never played. And then apparently, which doesn't sound right to me, but apparently in 2014, Sia's Chandelier was never played on Triple J.
I'm not going to do it.
I thought you were going to sing Chandelier. No.
I can't hit that note.
We'll do the bit without the note.
It's all that note.
Oh.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right. Nah. Was that a few
Chandelier! Nope, see? Nope.
She knows the limits, though.
I think Evan just probably cried downstairs.
Here's the final fact. And this, all right,
this better be fun.
I think it's fun. So, Jess, you asked before what the closest between 1 and 2 was. This happened in 2007 when hot favourite Straight Lines by Silverchair was pipped.
At the post.
At the post by only 14 votes.
Wow. 14? That is
14.
That's not many at all.
Yeah. I wouldn't have voted that year, so I could have made that 13.
Do you know what it was?
No.
It was Muse's Knights of Sidonia.
Oh, that's a great song.
Pretty great.
But is it fun?
Yeah, it's fun. Yes.
That was fun.
That's a fun fact.
Fun fact. 14 votes.
Stuart, Stuart. He's fist pumping. Stop now.
Do you reckon that? Okay. well, anyway, that was... That was a pretty loose episode about things on and about the Hottest 100. Any further questions?
Do I have any questions? Well, by the time this comes, my question is, what will be number one for 2015? By the time we come... by the time
what
I come out...
What just happened to your face?
I just,
As soon as cum came out, he broke.
Do I have any questions?
Yeah. Where do you get off? Question one.
My only question remaining is, what will be number one for 2015 when it comes out the day before this is released? So everyone if you're listening to this, you can Google, you can find out if Kendrick Lamar's joke song, King Kunta, made number
one.
What
a joke song. I'm surprised it's favourite now. That's pretty cool.
Am I too late to get in, do you reckon, if I put something on YouTube tonight to get into the Hottest 100? I reckon I could.
If you put something on YouTube tonight.
So just Google Hottest 100 for 2015 and see if Jess Perkins made the 100. We're going to find out.
Without hashtag help, it's going to be tricky.
Nah, I reckon I can do it. I've got a following.
All right. Well, on that note, thank you so much for listening, everyone.
Which note? Give us a note, Jess.
On that note... Right there. Thanks very much for listening. Matt did go on about a topic that I feel like you had a bit of passion for, so that was good.
A little bit. Not like you and the Queen. Nothing like that, but...
I know, well...
Love you, Lizzie.
You can't compare much to Queen Elizabeth
II. Nothing compares.
Oh, with Sinead O'Connor, a friend. Anyway.
Nothing compares.
Jess is going to be back next week, hopefully not singing, but doing a report.
Probably singing.
Possibly a musical report. In the meantime, please do go on to follow us on Twitter at DoGoOnPod, and we will catch you next time. Thank you so much for listening, and from me, I say goodbye.
Bye.
Sinead O'Connor made it many times. Latest.
That was not fun.
That fact. Or the whole show.
No, that fact. I meant the fact.
I'm a multi-millionaire, and I have no worries about paps. It's a popular vote. I find it funny every year, people are like, it's gone so commercial. It's like every year, it's the most popular song when millions of people have voted in a thing. It's going to be a pretty popular song. That's
yeah.
That's how popular votes work, you fucking idiot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.